Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Stevie Nicol. We kick things off in the Premier League, where Arsenal's impressive start to the season continues as they made it 3 wins out of 3. 2 goals in the first half from Odegaard, nice finish from Saliba. Sees Arsenal then take all 3 points. Some more on this is welcome Frank Leboeuf to the show. Frank, how impressed were you with Arsenal today?
Very much by the old players, but especially by Gabriel Jesus in the first half. I mean, what he did, you know, and what he offered to the others was absolutely exceptional. But I found the Gunners very professional, knowing exactly what they had to do, convincing in every action, you know, and securing themselves very early. What an action from Gabriel Jesus. I mean, it's fantastic. And Odegaard, very lucky to see the ball coming back after Martinelli's shot. But yeah, everything was spot on. Second half, beginning of second half, you say, well, yeah, Bournemouth is coming back. But the goal of Saliba was also exceptional. The pass from Xhaka is the pure happiness for me. I love football like that. I enjoyed the game from the Gunners against, I have to say, a weak opponent.
Famously, Stevie, after their victory against Crystal Palace in the opening day of the season, you said that Arsenal aren't going to finish top four because you can't see any improvements from last season. Have you changed your mind?
Don't start your patter.
What do you mean? That's exactly what...
I didn't say that. No, I never. I didn't say that.
What did you say then?
I said I saw some of the old frailties. I didn't say there wasn't any improvement. I said I saw some of the old frailties.
You didn't think they'd
and
be
I'll
better.
Repeat what I said.
Right.
Just so you know, I know exactly when I'm talking, what I remember what I said.
Go on.
I said that I'm looking for a performance from the first to the 90th minute.
Right.
Not for 20 minutes, and then the rest of the game, you could have lost a couple of points.
Okay.
That's what I said.
Okay.
Which is completely different in your part.
So have you changed your mind?
No.
But we saw.
Unless they're going to play Bournemouth every week.
Right.
No. Look, you can't blame Arsenal for the performance today. It was absolutely perfect.
Okay.
They took advantage of a weak opposition. They scored some nice goals. They got their main men involved. People like Jesus. Martinelli, again, was great. They kept a clean sheet. Pretty much reduced Bournemouth to... I can hardly remember if Ramsdale had a save.
Yeah.
So, listen, this performance is great.
Right.
And what they're doing is something that they didn't do last year right now, and that is beat teams that they're supposed to. And actually, coming up, they've got games that they should be winning as well.
Right.
They've got Fulham at home, a team that's just been promoted. They've got Aston Villa, who's struggling big time. And then they get Man United, who are struggling big time. So, listen, they can only win or beat what's put in front of them. And right now, that's what they're doing.
So you're saying the only way you're going to be convinced that they're a proper top four contender is when they beat somebody...
Yeah, they've got the Europa League coming up. They're going to be playing Thursday and Sunday, which historically has been a disaster for teams in the Premier League. It's really affected them. They also, in that period of time, have games against Liverpool, they play Spurs, they play Man City. So I'll tell you what, October is the month where maybe I will change my mind. But you can't. You've got to give them credit. They're winning games.
I'm sure they'll be glad
to. That's what it's about.
Have you been surprised by Gabriel Jesus?
I've been surprised how great he's been, but not surprised that he's becoming the main guy.
Right.
Because I think... from his performances, not just in pre-season, but from the start of the season, he looks as though he enjoys being the main guy, of which he's the complete opposite at Man City. He was kind of... well, he gets on now and again. He seems to be enjoying being the star. His performances are electric. He's every game he's played in the Premier League so far this year, he's had an occasion where he's walked past 3 and 4 players and created a goal. He did it again today against Bournemouth. So... fantastic.
It must be fantastic as well, Frank, when you have the squad that Arsenal do and then have someone like him who comes in and just lifts not only, of course, the fans, but everyone around him on the pitch.
Yeah, it is. It is fantastic for Arteta and his teammates. But really, I wasn't expecting to see that. I mean, that soon, I would say, you know. I thought he would need a little time to settle down. On top of it, you know, when I saw him playing for Manchester City, I never seen a kind of leadership from a possible leadership mentality from him. But he came to Arsenal straight away, showed himself as a leader, and did it very quickly. And as you say, everything he does is like everybody understands what he does. Mm. And the action that we saw just before, it's like the players, they played with him for years because they exactly know, and they keep on running, they exactly know that they're going to receive the ball. So the guy is showing leadership, but also the intelligence of the game, you know, and he feels everything. He didn't score today, but he was involved in every goals that Arsenal scored. And it's what I like. It's what I like about him, that his involvement is perfect, he's 100%. And, of course, everybody has to be very happy on the Gunners' side, yeah.
I think we should mention Zinchenko as well. You know, last week we praised Saliba. Again today, he was brilliant. Again,
great goal.
He scored a fantastic goal. But along with Jesus and Saliba, Zinchenko's made a huge difference to this team as well.
Right.
It's
still not better than last year.
I never said that. You did. As usual.
You definitely said
that. As usual, you say it and turn around and say somebody else said it.
But what's interesting with Zinchenko is that a little bit like Jesus, he's come in, just hit the ground running.
Yeah. Again, I think we underestimated him. I think I certainly did.
Right.
At Man City. Again, he appeared on the face of it to be a player that if City needed somebody to come on, he was the man. But I think recently, playing for Ukraine in the middle of the park, and now, well, what do you call his position? He's not a fullback and he's not a central midfielder. Yeah. He's a little in between that. He just looks so assured, so confident, and kind of calms everybody else down around him.
So, a good day overall for North London, because not only did Arsenal register a victory, but Spurs as well. They were made to work a lot harder in their 1-0 win against Wolves. In the end, Harry Kane's goal proving the difference between the two sides. Nice finish from him. And I think from a Spurs perspective, if you're a Spurs fan, you'd feel optimistic after this, Frank, because the way they kind of improved as the game went on.
Yes, especially I think after the game against Chelsea and that game that we saw today, where they were far from convincing, you know, when they had the ball. They were under pressure for like an hour or so against Wolverhampton. I think Wolverhampton was the best team overall, you know. But what they have, Tottenham, is the fact that they believe that something can happen, and they have somebody who you don't really see during the game, and it was really clear against Chelsea, for example. We can score goals from nowhere. And it happened against today, where he was at the right spot at the right time, and that's what you expect from a striker, put the ball in the net. So everything can happen with that team. They're not convincing when they have the ball, but they're very good in counter-attack, and they can assume the fact that they can... they can go against the team that they play against, and they can suffer against it, but at the end of the day, they can win games. So defensively, they do the job, even if I can think they're lucky, but offensively, they have somebody who can make the difference, and Harry Kane is that guy.
Harry Kane, speaking afterwards, Stevie, said the victory was testament to the hard work they've done in pre-season and the fitness, and they're fitter than their opposition. So those 42 lanes paid off.
Well, if they hadn't, are you telling me if they hadn't done it, then they wouldn't have been as fit as they were?
Bit tired then.
Yeah, right.
How good's Harry Kane?
Any team would want Harry Kane in the team. There's not any team would want Harry Kane. That's how good he is on the planet. No question.
Spurs lucky?
A little fortunate. Again, the kind of if you're giving out points for football, then probably Wolves were better, played a better game of football. But Wolves don't look as though they're going to score a goal between now and the end of the season. And Spurs, like it or not, will not give you anything, and more times than not, will steal from you. And that's what they did today.
Arsenal and Spurs fans then going to bed happy tonight. However, goodness me, some fans will not be. Leicester in big trouble. Saints coming from behind. to beat them by 2-1. Fofana not mentally ready to play that game, of course, having been heavily linked to a move to Chelsea. Meanwhile, Mitrovic with a late winner as Fulham beat Brentford 3-2. Steven Gerrard's poor start to the season with Aston Villa continues. Nice win for Crystal Palace, beating them by 3-1. Meanwhile, Everton against Forest was not the best advert for the Premier League. Not a lot of quality in that tie as it finished at 1-1. Manchester United, of course, taking on Liverpool. The back page of the Daily Star. Spend. This £300 million blitz to solve the crisis. Linked to Antony is the latest player. Looks like he'd be making that move from Ajax to Manchester United. Won't feature, apparently, in Ajax's tie tomorrow. OK, let me just ask a stupid question, get out of the way. If you're Manchester United and you look at what's going on around you, Villa, Spurs, look, it's all about top four, yeah? Villa, Spurs and Villa. Arsenal, Spurs and Chelsea are your main opponents around that.
Yep.
Are you genuinely going to get a team together that's going to be able to compete with them properly for a place in the top four this season? And if the answer to that is no, given that you're already 9 points off Arsenal, for example, or depending what happens on Monday, do you really need to be panic buying in this manner? Do you need to be going everywhere all around Europe and just like a scattergun approach and throwing money at everyone? Or do you just put your foot on the brake, use this as a transition, and actually focus on players that you need and that's going to improve you over the long term?
You should send that couple of minutes that you've just spoken about there to the Glazers, because they might employ you. Because that is the sensible, smart way to go about it. Who in their right mind thinks going panic buying is going to turn this thing around? Manchester United don't need two or three players. Manchester United need seven, maybe eight. So, are they doing this to try and appease the fans?
Well, it's got to be, Stevie, because...
But then again, they're showing how stupid they are, because the fans are not complete morons, basically. They've seen what's been going on, and I guess anybody with any sort of knowledge of the game or who can actually see the wood for the trees understands that they're in a position where they have to start again. They have to start getting the building blocks in place and build this team and this club up from the bottom. Most people that I speak to have said that.
Right.
In fact, I haven't spoken to anybody that I know that has been involved in football that has said what they need to do is go and sign three players at 100 million each.
Right.
Because everybody has figured out that's not going to work.
Which is,
but they continue to do the wrong thing. It is so... I really don't know what to say, Dan. The right thing to do is staring them in the face, but yet they can't see it. They can't.
But on the flip side of that, isn't it very difficult to go there and put in these horrible performances and not being seen to be doing anything?
Well, no, because what you do is you come out and tell everybody what you're doing.
Yeah, but you're Manchester United. Can you do that?
Have you seen the state of Manchester United?
I don't know how easy a sell is that. What you're saying is sensible, obviously. But if you're saying to fans, as Manchester United finish this season 12th or 13th, and they
tell
put
them
in these performances every time...
Tell them what you're doing. Tell them what you're doing. See, look, we have money. We can go out now and spend money. But we want the future of the club to be in the right place, and we want to go about it the right way. So what we're not going to do now is going to panic buy and go and get a couple of players, because we need more than that. This is what the plan is. We are going to take some time and we're going to build this club from the bottom. And any fan with any ounce of sense will go, wow, it's the first time we've actually heard some sort of plan, and a plan that makes sense. And if you're a fan and you don't want to hear that, and you want them to go and start throwing money around, then that, you don't know what you're talking about. Or you haven't been watching what's been going on. Because that's pretty much what they've done. There's been no plan for 4 or 5 years. They've gone and signed players thinking that's going to do the trick. And Ronaldo's the cherry on the top. They think that they'll go and sign Ronaldo and it'll change everything. And it's actually made it worse.
Frank, what do you think?
you know, the board of Manchester United made me think of politics, you know, when they do something wrong, but they don't want to admit it. So they keep on lying and hiding what they did wrong, you know, for us to forget about it. If Manchester United boards decide to say, listen, you know what? We're going to work out what we've done, and we've done badly. We recruited, but not the player we should have recruited. And so we're going to slowly but surely retransform the team and use, you know, some years to do so. You are revealing to the world and your fans that you did wrong for years. And as politics, you don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. So they keep on lying and they try to hide it by buying other players, trying to sort out the problem like that by magical signings. It's not going to work like that. Well, we see with Casemiro, if Casemiro is coming for the money. He's not coming to save Manchester United. He doesn't care. He won everything with Real Madrid. He's a legend. And clearly, and everybody say that, and it's not offensive, yeah? It's for the money that it comes. It's not coming to sort any problems out. So that's the thing, and I agree with Stevie, Manchester United should do, taking more years and thinking maybe twice or thrice what they have to do, instead of buying players like crazy everywhere around the world. But I don't think they're going to do that, because it would be admitting that they were wrong for years.
Well, thank you very much. I'm sure we'll be looking ahead to Liverpool against United in more detail on the next edition of the show, plus reflecting, of course, on Newcastle against City and Chelsea Leeds.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Real Madrid doing okay without Casemiro. 4-1 victory away against Celta Vigo means they've started the defence of their title with two wins out of two. Benzema from the penalty spot would make it 1-0. Diego Aspas for the equaliser 10 minutes later, and an absolute worldie from Luka Modric just before the break would give Real Madrid the initiative, and one they would grab going into the second half. Vinicius Junior and Valverde making it 4-1 as we welcome into the show Alejandro Moreno and Luis Garcia with us. Luis, that was impressive, particularly the second half from Real Madrid today.
Yes, it was. I think that once again they showed why last year they win La Liga. They were so consistent, so solid. I think there is a Real Madrid that, yeah, we were all expecting to miss a little bit Casemiro in the center of the park, But as the game was going forward, I think the key moment of the game was that Modric goal just before halftime. I think that Celta Vigo in the first half was better than Real Madrid, had a couple of chances, didn't finalize. And when you don't capitalize the chances against Real Madrid, you know that at the end you're going to have problems. And in the second half, Celta Vigo, there is something to be concerned for Eduardo Coudet, because last weekend happened exactly the same. They lost or they draw the game in the last 20 minutes, ending with 2-2. It happened again. They ran out of legs. They couldn't cope with that. They start committing players forward. And when you open a space there against Real Madrid, you know that you're going to suffer. The speed of Valverde, of what the players up front, you know that it's very difficult. Vinicius in open field is going to kill you. And at the end, you know that you're going to have problems. That control, that I think that it wasn't meant to do that, just enough for Vinicius to grab the ball and go 1v1 against the keeper. Great finish. And when you are 3-1 against Real Madrid, you know that you are in a big trouble, because they start slowing down the game, keeping the game. They start winning the possession, no rush. Then you start seeing physically Camavinga, Tchouameni, Vinicius, even Benzema was making runs in the 80th minute. So that shows that this Real Madrid, once again, with confidence and in open game, you have no chance against them.
A nice finish here from Valverde. Goals coming from all over the place, Ali.
And I think a couple of moments that were really important for Real Madrid today in the second half. We spoke at halftime that Real Madrid needed to be able to play out of pressure, that Celta de Vigo were willing to put that pressure higher up the field. And once Real Madrid recovered possession, that they had to be able to play through that pressure. And they did so in the goal by Vinicius Jr. They win the ball. Luka Modric gets a couple of touches on it, and then he's able to get his head up. And once he gets that head up, and now you have full transition where Real Madrid utilizes the speed of Vinicius Jr. And then Hugo Mayo decides that he's not going to run with Vinicius Jr. That seems like a good idea, like a reasonable thought. In any case, Real Madrid go on, score that goal. The game changes, and once again, what I thought was an important moment was Tchouameni doing something that was very Casemiro-like in the Valverde goal, in that he wins the ball on top of his own 18-yard box, recovers that possession, and he has the athleticism to create separation, run with the ball himself, drive forward, then he finds Vinicius, and by then your full transition from Real Madrid that allows then Valverde to get involved, it allows Benzema to get involved, and eventually Valverde who puts the final touch and the final finish, and by then it was game over. But those couple of moments tell you how important that control through the midfield can be. If they break through that first line of pressure as they did, then they go on the counter, they put the game away, games and match, Real Madrid dominant.
Yeah, Luis, obviously this game was always going to be about Casemiro's absence and Tchouameni once again starting. How did you rate him today?
I think it's got a good game. Of course, it's not easy with all that pressure. All the eyes where they are going to be on you. A few missed passes without much pressure. So something that he needs to continue working on. But as the games are coming and he starts getting more confidence, I think he's a player who can give a lot to Real Madrid. Physically, he's very strong. We've seen it even in the first goal. He won the ball in the air in that corner who generates the penalty. And he's a player that, again, if he's surrounded by talent, he's going to have next to him Kroos, Modric, Camavinga, Valverde, players who had the chance of playing before at the Bernabeu in moments of a lot of pressure, and they are going to help him to improve. And that's very, very important for a player like with this age and with the pressure that he's going to feel in the coming weeks. So I think we have to rate it well. Good job today. They didn't concede just one goal, and I think he did a good job in the middle of the park. So I'm going to give it even a 7. I was happy to see him perform well in the first game.
Modric, meanwhile, you probably give an 8 or 9, Stevie. Just an absolute dream to coach, I imagine, having someone like this. And who still seems to love playing the game as well, despite everything he's achieved.
Well, to be as fit as he is at his age, you have to want to go, not just play games, but you have to put the hard yards in when you're training. You have to put the effort in to get your legs and your body in the condition to be able to make this goal that he scores here, he makes it look so easy, but you can only do that if you're 100% fit and everything's working normally. And he, at what, 37, is working normally.
What's interesting, Ali, the narrative, we know what it would have been if Real Madrid struggled in this game or dropped points. But it's almost such an easy movement now just to turn the page and, like, we're moving on now.
Yeah, and I don't think you're going to be judged if you're Real Madrid in, because of what you did or didn't do against Celta de Vigo. But it would have been a very easy criticism if they struggle against Celta de Vigo to say, well, Casemiro gone now, all the magic is gone through that midfield. Well, that's not quite the case, because this is a team that has a lot of depth. Unlike most teams in Europe, at the very top, at the elite level, you have depth and players that can step into the position. Now, that doesn't mean that you have guys that can actually do the job of Casemiro. You have guys that can do a job, not the job. They're going to have to figure out how that combination works. Regardless, because you were so dominant today, then I think the conversation shifts. It moves forward, and now you spin it forward to what the next challenge and the next conversation would be about Real Madrid. It won't be so much about Casemiro up until they play a match in which they get destroyed through the midfield. And at that point, the conversation then will turn back to Casemiro. But until then, happy times. Hey, we won 4-1. We move on.
You used the word quality when we were talking at halftime, Luis, and you just see Vinicius Jr. continuing to build on what he kind of laid the foundation of last season, where he really did make that step up. And he's looking now to continue to do that. And that's evidence in flashes that we saw today.
Yeah, definitely. We saw in the first half he received a few faults with Mayo being very close to him, knowing that you have to be very close, and if he turns, you are in trouble. And he managed well. He kept his temper, and he was showing, listen, you come against me like this, I'm going to go against you with what I got. That is speed, skills, ability, and that's what he proved. In the first half, was definitely one of the biggest threats in that left side. And in the second half, once again, because Celta Vigo started moving forward, that diagonal is so dangerous, the speed, the power, everything in this goal that you can see. The perfect pass, of course, for that run that I think is what Vinicius is expecting. The moment Modric has got the ball, you know that you have to start running because the ball is going to come to you, straight to your feet. And that's what Vinicius find out in the last couple of years. And that's what he's done the best, making the run to the space and then 1v1 against the keeper. No chance when in open space. Great goal. And today he was, probably for me, one of the best players of Real Madrid.
So many positives for Real Madrid. Being football, there's obviously going to be a negative somewhere amongst it. Eden Hazard coming on, having that penalty save. Whose decision is it for him to take it in the first place, you think, Stevie?
I would think it's Benzema's.
Right. He would have said, go on.
Yeah, I mean, it's 4-1. And I'm sure they all feel for Hazard,
right,
what he's gone through.
Right.
So Benzema, being the way he is, he's already got his goal, he's already got a penalty. So he's like, you know what, on you go. And actually it's the right thing to do, because not only Hazard scoring, is it good for Hazard, it's good for everybody.
Right.
It's good for the whole squad in general.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, it went wrong. And it will just affect Hazard more than anything. Everybody else will still feel bad for him the way he did before it.
Yeah.
But Hazard he'll be in his bed tonight thinking about it.
It's interesting what Stevie says, Luis. How much of an insight does that give us into Eden Hazard and his role within the dressing room, that he's clearly a character that people like and want to support?
Yeah, you know, definitely. I think he's a personality, a good character. He's always been. We've seen so many times all the players trying to bring the ball to him, trying to make him comfortable, trying to push him to be the best of Eden Hazard, because I think he's a very special player because of the injuries. He's been on and on, also because of the explosion of Vinicius. He hasn't had the minutes probably he needs to get back that 100%. And everybody's expecting him a good year. Finally, he made a good precision, no injuries, arriving now, and he's going to receive some minutes because even Valverde is doing a great job in that right side. So he's going to try to catch, but everybody's around in the team looks like they are expecting the best for him. They are going to try to help him. And today Benzema was a great proof. Giving the ball, I don't want my name on the papers tomorrow. I prefer to give you the ball and recover the best of Hazard, because it's going to be a long season. We are going to need off from everybody, and you have to be with the best confidence that you can have when you are on the field. And well, of course, it is a blow that he didn't score tonight, but at least we've seen Hazard moving around, asking for the ball, and hopefully we can see more next week.
See, it's a great plan when it works. But when it doesn't, whatever confidence he had coming into the match, which may have been very little given right. the lack of success, I can tell you from his immediate reaction, all that confidence disappeared because he misses a penalty and then lost every other ball that he touched. And while it is great, I agree with Luis, it is great to see him out on the field because he finally is out there. You also have to say that it now looks more like a charity case than anything else. That here, Eden, please, take this penalty, score this goal, and hopefully we can get the best out of you. I don't know what the best of Eden Hazard looks anymore.
Meanwhile, in 24 hours' time, it is Barcelona in action against Real Sociedad. Hey, not a bad bet, Barcelona. You take a look at it, you can double your money with them in San Sebastian. Obviously, a slow start, a disappointing start, still waiting for their first goal of the season after that 0-0 draw against Rayo Vallecano, Luis. What's your prediction for this game?
I think it's a totally different game. Against Rayo Vallecano, you know you expect a very tough game because you're going to have a lot of players behind the ball and those counter-attacks, of course, they're going to be very dangerous. And Barcelona just couldn't manage to break those lines. A lot of chances, but not really ended on behind of the net. We saw Lewandowski, Rafinha, Dembele having a lot of chances and Sufati in the second half. But I expect a more open game. Of course, Real Sociedad is a very difficult game, but a very difficult team. But definitely a more open game. They want to play. They build up from the back so Barcelona can press a little bit higher. And maybe we're going to have the chance of seeing Lewandowski scoring the first goal of La Liga. But definitely it's not going to be an easy game for Barcelona.
Luis Garcia, as always, thank you very much. What a triple header we have for you. Meanwhile, tomorrow, as we mentioned, it finishes with Barcelona against Real Sociedad. Preceding that, though, Athletic Club against Valencia. That's 11:30 Eastern. And then in the Spanish capital, Atleti take on Villarreal, 1:30. All three games live on ESPN+.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So Borussia Dortmund in action against Werder Bremen. Borussia Dortmund cruising, 2-0 up. It all looked fine. Werder Bremen, though, would get one back, and then this would happen.
Still time for Bremen. And there's the header! There's the equaliser! This is astonishing! Niklas Schmid off the bench! And Dortmund's 2-0 lead has been wiped out!
It couldn't get worse, could it? It could.
And who's to say they can't push on and score again? Oliver Burke trying to use his pace! Oliver Burke for Werder Bremen! What an ending! Wow!
I just can't say no way. This is unbelievable. I haven't seen anything like that.
Oliver Burke with a goal that will go down in Werder Bremen history.
Wow. Extraordinary scenes at the end of the match as Borussia Dortmund lose by 3-2. Let's get some reaction.
What went wrong in the last minutes?
I think everything that can go wrong. To be honest, I think Werder had a better game than us. They played better football, they were more dangerous. But still, like, it's 88 minutes or something like this and we are 2-0 in front. And that we lose this game is impossible, and it's, it cannot be no chance that this happens.
Hello, Ollie Burke. Good to see you again. We spoke when he was playing for RB Leipzig a few years ago, it was. And now, look at you, scoring the winning goal here. I mean, you scored a very late equaliser last week as well.
Yeah.
How did that feel?
Yeah, pretty special. It's up there with one of the best goals I've scored, I guess. Amazing performance from the team. Everybody put in a great shift and...
Yes, Burks!
Going 2-0 down and, you know, all the lads made an impact off the bench. And, you know, very, very happy for the team and we have to keep going.
That moment when it goes in and you're looking up at 25,000 people who you've just silenced.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me about that?
To be honest, I was just relieved it went in. My legs were sort of giving away when I shot. But yeah, like I say, amazing feeling and in front of them as well. Yeah.
That's what Terzic had to say, the Dortmund manager. We're talking about a deserved defeat, but it's still massively annoying when you're 2-0 up in the 88th minute, even though it wasn't a great performance from us. When you're 2-0 up at home, you have to win the game. It's embarrassing, isn't it?
Yes. Now, the narrative coming out of this game at the 80th minute would have been a difficult match for Borussia Dortmund. Didn't play well, but found a way to get a result. And you could have spun that into perhaps the early maturity shown by this group of players as compared to last year, where they were giving up goals, where they were dropping points, where they were losing games that they shouldn't be losing. You look at the early part of the season, and they have been able to keep a shutout against Bayer Leverkusen. Okay. Doing that last season would have been unheard of because they could not defend. Mm. And then last week against Freiburg, coming back late and using all the young talent off the bench and winning the game 3-1. And you're thinking, well, that's also a game that they would have either lost or dropped some points. And now, here you are. You haven't played well, but you're winning 2-0. And you think, okay, not playing well, but still getting something out of the game. And then the lights just went off. And you could just see it.
Yeah.
Werder Bremen had been better than Borussia Dortmund throughout the course of the game. And they scored that first goal to go 2-1. And Borussia Dortmund couldn't complete a pass after that. They could not get themselves behind the ball. They could not get themselves organized, which then tells me that whatever confidence we thought they had after the first couple of games, smoke and mirrors. It is just a fragile team and a team that when finally things got really tight and really difficult, they got fractured. They pulled apart. And instead of defending well, now you had mistakes all over the field.
This has got to be the sort of result and the manner of defeat that haunts you.
I think in some ways, though, the coaching staff should not be totally flabbergasted, because last season the biggest problems, in my opinion, were defensively. And what did they do? They went and signed Sula. And so they put him in a back line that was struggling anyway. So he's not going to make it any better. So it shouldn't be a surprise that you're losing goals. Mm. Listen, nobody expects to lose at 2-0 in the 88th minute when you're at home. But again, as I said, the coaching staff should know their players. They should know the team inside out and should know that the names on the jerseys defensively are capable of this. So, yes, it's a surprise, but they shouldn't be flabbergasted, not if they know their players and they know the team well enough like they should.
To make it worse, Stevie, and to your point, they take out Mats Hummels to put in Niklas Süle, who was just coming back from injury, at 2-0, thinking, you know what, let's give him some minutes
right, so
that we can close out the game. And in that third goal by Werder Bremen, he looks so slow on the turn and so very slow to recognize that there was an opportunity for Oliver Burke to get in behind, to cover that space, to make the run in order to be able to cover the space and defend properly. So slow to react, so slow on the turn, so slow to sprint, and Oliver Burke comes in, puts it in the back of the net, 3-2 Werder Bremen, and Borussia Dortmund are looking around. How did this happen? Well, I'll tell you what just happened. Potentially, Bayern Munich wins their match, and now you're looking up at Bayern Munich, and good luck catching that group.
Yeah, been there before.
It just feels like the difference of 3 points in the Bundesliga might as well be 30 when it comes between Bayern Munich and everybody else.
Let's head back, shall we, to our feature game. Real Madrid very impressive with their 4-1 victory over Celta Vigo. After the game, Alexis Nunes caught up with Carlo Ancelotti.
Carletta, congratulations. That was a big win to do it away from home. As the boss, what impressed you the most about your boys today?
Oh, I think we played well. We suffered a little bit the first half, but we were good all the game. We were solid, really dangerous in counter-attack. The performance was good from the beginning until the end.
And then we noticed that, of course, the first half was very tricky. The second half, you know, you seemed like you were in cruise control. Things went so much more easy. What happened? What was the change?
No, I think that Celta put a lot of pressure at the beginning, and the second half, they went a little bit down physically. We had on the pitch a lot of energy with the young players, and the second half was easier to play.
And then this man right here, Vinny Jr., we just spoke to him, and he said how important it was for the young players to put out a big performance, especially after losing kind of like a godfather in Casemiro. What did you think?
I think we have a lot of quality. We have a lot of quality. The young has to improve. They are doing really well. They show good quality today. We played well together. So the performance was good. We have confidence for the future.
And finally, four goals, four very special goals. Which one was your favorite and why was it Luka Modric?
yes. Luka scored a fantastic goal, and maybe it was the most important goal of the game, because we went 2-0 up, 2-1 up, and from there the game was easier.
Carletta, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Alexis with us now. Alexis, interesting, after all the success that Real Madrid had last season, it was also going to be interesting to see how they would start this campaign. And we saw a lot of them last year. You could argue that performance, particularly in the second half, was one of the best that we've seen from them over the last 12 months.
Yeah, Dan, definitely. That was one of the better ones in the second half, where we did say that they looked like they were just on cruise control. And it's not that Celta de Vigo were not playing well. They really were trying, you know, their absolute hardest. They had their moments just throughout the 90 minutes, really and truly. But in the end, Real Madrid just were Real Madrid. They know how to win. How many times did we say this last season? I still remember even talking to Toni Kroos just ahead of the Madrid derby. And he said, you know what? I don't think we've been perfect or near. I actually don't really like how we've been playing. And then you look back at what they managed to accomplish last season, and if it's one thing that Real Madrid know how to do, it is to win, and to win at all costs. But this was a big performance to come away from home, to score all of the goals, to have a number of different goal scorers. I know we're going to look away from that missed penalty from Eden Hazard, but that was what was important. We spoke to Vinny Jr. in Spanish before we got to speak to Carlo Ancelotti, and he said this was a huge match after Casemiro left. He said, for the young boys, you know, we're not deaf. We heard the fans, we hear their worries, wondering what the future looks like, because in the last couple of years they've lost some big names, they've lost some big legends like Cristiano Ronaldo, like Sergio Ramos, and now you have Casemiro, and everyone's wondering if that conveyor belt coming through the Real Madrid squad is big enough to churn out these big names. Of course, they look at, you know, the big man in the up front, which is Karim Benzema. He's not exactly a spring chicken either, even though he's enjoying you know, one of the best seasons, if not the best season of his career. But this was an important match in silencing some of the doubts that the fans had, the heartbreak that they were feeling through the loss of Casemiro, and I think they definitely were able to answer those questions.
Alexis, thank you very much. What's on tonight in Vigo?
Oh, Dad, I am about to try and find somewhere to eat, because I ate very well yesterday. Vigo is right on the coastline.
Yeah.
We're actually closer to Portugal than the rest of Spain. So I'm going to go look for some seafood, although it is almost 1 a.m., so I'm not sure I'm going to find it. But you know what? A certain Real Madrid legend is actually just to my left in Guti. So I'm going to ask him if he has any suggestions, because if Guti can find a meal at 1 a.m., surely I can get one, right?
It's Spain. They haven't even started their appetizers yet. Thank you very much, Alexis, as always, for joining us.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. And what a bonus we have today. Gab Marcotti, back from holiday, insisted he came on the extra time.
He must have something to tell us.
Oh, I can't wait. Extra time is there next. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your questions. Steve Nicol with us here in the studio. Still says Arsenal are not going to finish top four. Frank LaBeouf is with us as well. And literally, just back from his holiday. Look, he can't even straighten his collar. He just sat down, put on his jacket straight away. There we go. We've got to make sure that everything else is working. Gab, why are you on? No!
Work.
No!
The
mic doesn't work!
We can't hear you.
After all that! After all that palaver! Oh no, there we go. In fact, don't laugh! It's very serious.
I know, I don't want to laugh, but it's so predictable, you know, when you do it in a hurry, it doesn't work, you know.
It is very predictable indeed. Well, we can see more than Gab, than we need to see. Let's take a look. Oh. Live TV, you gotta love it. Okay, wait, apparently the mic might be working now. Hello, Gab Marcotti.
This is London,
hey!
Can you hear me?
Hey! Welcome back! Yes. What was the problem? Had you not plugged it in?
Thank you. I have no idea. Oh. I didn't have time to do the usual sound checks because I was rushing because I missed you guys so much.
Wow. Wow, Gab, where have you been?
Wow.
I was on the beautiful island of Ischia, which is next to Capri in the Gulf of Naples.
Wow, very nice.
Oh, right.
How's your geography with that?
Well, yeah.
How's your geography with that, Steve?
Yeah,
it's good.
Go to Botswana. Right?
Okay. Did you have a lovely time, Gab? Were you on your own?
No, funny enough, I don't holiday on my own. I have a family that goes with me. But yes.
All the time is just when you go on holiday.
Extremely early, we hike the top of... Exactly, Vic.
Rent a father.
Yes, I hire some character actors for when I go on holiday. That's exactly it.
You laugh at your own joke.
I know, yeah, just in my head. There's a lot of things going on in my head.
Okay, all right then. I haven't got the tweets at the moment, but I think I can read them, possibly. Here we go. Here comes the first one. Stevie, after Arsenal's decisive victory today, have you woken up and smelled the coffee yet, or still labouring up under the belief that they won't make top four?
Sorry. Once they play some stiffer opposition, then I will certainly think about it, but... I mean, they haven't exactly been tested.
Well, they beat...
They got a little bit of test against...
They beat a Crystal Palace side.
They got a little bit of a test against Palace.
Right.
And actually, they were fortunate to win the game because there's two chances Palace missed.
Fortunate.
They should have
scored.
It's
fortunate stretching it, Stevie.
Well, what do you want me to use?
OK, but Crystal Palace have since drawn with your boys and beat Villa today convincingly.
Right.
So does that not... give it more credit, that victory.
Oh, so the litmus test is Crystal Palace to getting in the top four now?
Well, I think going to Crystal Palace and getting 3 points is something you would expect a team to qualify for the top four to do.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
OK.
I'll give you that.
Thank you very much.
But you have to do it consistently.
Right.
Results like that, you have to get them consistently.
OK.
And it's far too early. We're three games in.
OK.
And you saw the opposition today against Bournemouth was pathetic.
Yes.
So we can hardly really seriously say they're going to be in the top four because they beat a team who 100% are going to get relegated.
100%.
Oh,
there's quite a few, though, aren't there? They're going to 100% get relegated.
There's quite a few teams that are not particularly great, but right now, Bournemouth are the worst of the worst.
There you go. Gav, I bet you're glad to come back to this.
I love the principle of the transitive theory where, you know, if you beat Palace and then Palace get a point from Liverpool, but then what does it mean then if Liverpool were to lose to Manchester United, who aren't particularly good on Monday night, does that invalidate Arsenal? I don't know. I think we need to look at teams and what they do on the pitch and stop worrying a little bit about like these, well, they beat them and do with them and whatever. But I do agree with Stevie on the point that, you know, I really want to see them against top opposition. I think they want to play against top opposition.
There are no easy games in the Premier League, Gab. Do you not? Have you not read the manual?
Yeah, right.
Unless you play Bournemouth.
Yes.
Steve, it continues, another question. Do you think you'll write down a cheque or will you pay him in nickels? Obviously, this is the $50 bet that we had when I said that Arsenal finished
well,
the top four.
Well, I won't even have to try and figure it out because it won't be happening.
It might do, Stevie.
No.
Yes.
No.
It's possible. They're top of the
table. It's possible.
Yeah.
It's unlikely.
You're nervous.
Yeah, shaking in my shoes.
How much would you hate to give me money?
Oh, I hate to give you
it. Yep. For Frank, what is more likely to happen? Aliens attacking Earth in the future or PSG winning the Champions League this season?
Oh, my God. Mm. That's quite unfair to Paris Saint-Germain. We all know that Paris Saint-Germain has a chance to win the Champions League because they have the players and the talent, and hopefully with the new coach, you know, they will have something with very close to a good mentality to make sure they can win the Champions League. So yeah, I will go for Paris Saint-Germain. Everything is possible, you know. People are talking about Paris Saint-Germain and mocking Paris Saint-Germain, but I'm sorry. You know, Manchester City, they keep on winning the Premier League, but since when they won the Champions League and the rich honor starting even earlier than Paris Saint-Germain to try to win the Champions League for Manchester City and never achieved it. But nobody teases Manchester City because they didn't have defeats like Paris Saint-Germain had. But at the end of the day, they didn't win the Champions League either. So it's an easy target, Paris Saint-Germain. I think some people should aim some other clubs as well.
Wow. Frank, how your tone has changed since your mate Gauthier took over, eh? Has he sorted out who's going to take the penalties at the moment?
We didn't talk yet because I'm still on holidays and we didn't talk, you know.
Why can you not talk when you're on holiday?
I'm on holidays in Normandy. I'm not back in Paris. I work for you. I work for ESPN, but I'm not back in Paris. So I'm quite still on holidays because I have my kids here. You know, we enjoy the day. I watch football.
Yeah.
I don't work for my play. And I'm only not in Paris. That's why I say I'm not on holidays, because when you're far away from Paris, you feel on holidays. But again, going back to Gauthier, you know, I didn't talk to him about penalties. I won't be involved in that discussion. It's him and Mbappe and Neymar. We're going to have a discussion. I have my own opinion about it. And if he wants my opinion, I will be happy to give it to him. But and I'm not defending PSG because Gauthier is in charge. Mm-hmm. It's just because I feel that for the first time, there might be a possibility to find a United that they never had since Qatar took over.
Gab, we've had some drama in your absence because, as Frank's mentioned, he's in his posh place in Normandy, but there's a thatched roof which now has like an electric fence running around it so animals cannot get in. The problem with this roof is that every time it electrocutes an animal, it makes quite a big buzzing noise on the microphone.
Stop saying stupid things. It's not that. Gab, don't beat him. It's just an electrical thing to scare the birds, but it doesn't kill the bird. It just scares them and they go away. So they don't go under the thatched roof, otherwise they're gonna destroy the roof. But in any cases, I killed the bird.
I didn't say kill, I just said electrocute.
Yeah, electrocute means the same, you know. I don't speak English very well, but it's... Go.
Frank, it could still be extremely traumatic for the birds and their mental health if they're terrified by the loud noises as they approach your roof. I'd be a little concerned about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it might not be as bad as being electrocuted.
But it doesn't hurt them. It just makes sure that they go away. It's like when you put, you know, that horrible thing in the middle of your garden to make sure they go away. You know,
great
you don't
bird.
See a string for that because it's so that. They're fine. They're fine birds. Don't worry.
Everyone's fine. Have you got a thatch roof in Kingston, a Gap? No, Kingston, where are you? Where do you live?
A what? A thatch roof? I don't live in Kingston. I live in the Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea.
That's it, Kensington.
Kensington, that's posh.
Yeah, he's posh. Look at him.
Surprised he's talking to us.
I know. Stevie and Frank, who was the one former teammate of yours who, when he retired from playing, went into a totally other direction than you thought outside the football world?
Ooh. I didn't think of it.
It's got Frank, I tell you what, you must be the answer to that question for a lot of people. Mm. When asked, are you going on a completely different,
yes.
Like to go to Hollywood and things like that?
Actually, somebody Frank knows.
Yeah.
Somebody Frank knows, Barry Venison.
Yep. Barry Venison?
I spoke to Barry, right?
Yeah.
And what he's doing now is, you know when you go into a hotel?
Yes.
And you've got lampstand, the pictures on the wall.
Yes.
The bed, the whole thing, in the bathroom, all the stuff,
yes,
right?
Yes, the interior decorate.
So he's in charge. So when they're building hotels and stuff, he's in charge of putting all the stuff in the rooms. That's needed. That's what he does.
Oh.
His company.
Right.
Installs all the stuff in the rooms.
There you go.
It's a weird one.
He moves equipment. Or he chooses it.
No, he's in charge of the whole operation.
Is he the guy who moves the okay.
He's in charge of the whole operation to make sure that all the stuff that has to be in the room is in the room. He's in charge of ordering it,
yes.
Getting it delivered, getting it put in, the whole shebang.
Wow.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. Gab, there's quite a few examples, aren't there, of footballers going off and doing some very different things to playing football?
Yeah, it does happen. I mean, obviously, off the top of my head, if you remember Mathieu Flamini from Arsenal, he invested in a biotech company or something like that when he was still playing, almost by chance. And then he turned into a unicorn and he sort of 300x'd his investment and made insane amounts of money, far more than he made as a footballer, even though he played it obviously at a very high level for Arsenal and Milan and whatnot. Espen Bartzen kind of was playing for in the Premier League for Watford and for Spurs, I think, even briefly. And then he just walks away and went to Wall Street, wealth management.
Wow.
If you remember, this is old school, Frank may remember this. Milan had a striker named Pietro Virdis in the 80s. He had a big mustache. And he basically, after he retired, he went and he joined a guru in India and essentially just follows him around and follows his preachings.
Wow.
There's a whole bunch of people who've done, done stuff like that, yeah.
Did Ozzy Ardiles not become a lawyer?
I don't know. There are obviously footballers. I thought you were talking about exciting, unusual things. I mean, becoming a lawyer, you know.
Well, it's hardly a thing a footballer would do.
Giorgio Chiellini's
a lawyer.
Oh. What's Chiellini? Oh. Anyway.
I was going to say, I think he's a qualified lawyer as well.
Anyway,
his brother is.
He was a nice guy when he was on. Frank?
I could have been the answer to that question, as you said, you're right. Yeah. But I think the first example that comes into my mind is Eric Cantona.
Yeah.
I mean, he became an actor and is being successful, being in good movies. Wow. But I have a teammate, I don't know, a guy I play with in the national team, Nicolas Wedek, was a striker of the Nantes Football Club. And is in charge of two hotels, franchise hotel in France, and that's what he does every day. You know, making sure that he gives the keys to customers and everything. That's what he does now because it's his own business.
Who's been more successful, Frank? Yourself and your acting, or David Ginola and his TV presenting?
And what is the question, in fact, about Ginola and myself?
Who's been more successful?
Who's been more successful?
Who's been more successful after they retired?
I don't know. It's Ginola is Ginola. You know, people love him because he's always been a wonderful, handsome guy, and so they love him and they love the show that he did. But it doesn't work anymore for television in France.
So it's the answer to you, Frank.
No. The answer is not me because there are two differences. I think David Ginola tries to please the world. I don't. I just live my life. That's the big difference between myself and David.
Del Piero's got a pizza shop, hasn't he?
Yeah, loads of people have got restaurants and stuff, though, isn't it? Yeah. That's nothing right. Extravagant.
Okay, you guys, come on. We're forgetting. There's an obvious one, George Weah.
Yeah, George Weah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
President of Liberia.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
I think he kind of trumps everybody
else.
Yeah,
I think that's fair. Yeah, most definitely. That's
true.
That's the ultimate answer. After the epic choke job from Dortmund, I got to wondering, Stevie, have you ever been a part of something as bad as that? And how were you feeling at the final whistle? This, of course, Dortmund 2-0 up in the 89th minute, lost the game 3-2.
I don't remember that ever happening, no. No, I don't remember ever losing a game like that.
Michael Thomas scoring, obviously, still you hate Arsenal because of that, his late goal.
Only coaching, being 4-0 up at half-time and drawing four each.
That's got to be tough as well.
Yeah. I was happy with a point at the end of the game, to be honest.
Frank, what about you? Have you been involved in anything as crazy as that?
In a good way, yes. We were losing 2-0 quarterfinal of the FA Cup against Liverpool half time, and we won 4-2 at Stamford Bridge. But I think we were leading 2-0 against Arsenal, and we lost 3-2. Kanu scored three goals in 15 minutes against us,
yes.
And we lost at home. I think that's something special. But I remember a game with Laurent Blanc in Marseille. He told me they were losing 4-0 at home against Montpellier and they won 5-4. That was crazy. Wow. That was really crazy.
We were the revs at Chicago Fire. We were 2-1 down and they made it 3-1 in the 90th minute. And we scored two goals in the 3 minutes of extra time to draw 3-3.
Brilliant coaching.
Well, I didn't want to say that.
Well, they've done it. Gab, would Luka Modric be the most difficult player to replace in Madrid's midfield?
Out of the midfielders? Yeah, I mean, considering they don't have... I think there's other players who can do what he does, not as well. It's just that they don't play for Real Madrid. I think his most natural in-house replacement would probably be somebody like Dani Ceballos, who's obviously not really comparable. So I think they're trying to, I don't think it's a mystery, they're trying to essentially phase him out a little bit, or they were hoping to, but I don't think they're able to. So they can't really transition away from him. And that's why they're going on sort of, you know, year after year, those annual contracts. And he's still so important to the side.
A lot of noises going on, Frank. You all right?
Excuse me?
There was a lot of noises going on from your studio.
No. I was carefully listening to Gab, so I didn't say anything. But, you know, to answer to the question, I think when we talk about the midfielders, we are talking about Kroos, Modric and Casemiro, a little bit less about Valverde. And I think it's why Modric is the most difficult to replace, because he's very unique. Where we feel that Casemiro can be replaced by Tchouaméni and maybe crossed by either Valverde or Camavinga. But Modric is such a very unique type of players, like Gianfranco Zola was, you know, those players who are so powerful but creative at the same time, with a large finesse, you know, in their football. They're kind of irreplaceable.
Final question, Stevie. How would you deal with a kid like Dan in their school days? I can see him getting stuffed in his locker. It's not very nice, is it?
No.
It's not very nice. What are you laughing at, Frank?
because I can imagine you in the locker.
There's plenty of room still. It'd be all right. Laughing at me. Sorry.
Did you get bullied at school?
Yeah, of course. Everyone gets bullied at school, though, don't they?
No.
Yes.
I never got bullied at school.
Well, that's because you're a big hard man.
No, not at all.
I think.
So you did get bullied at school?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
How did you avoid it?
I don't know, Steve. We'll go deep into my psyche.
You run away, keep up the road.
You just try and keep your head down.
Right.
Just try and not be noticed and hope that somebody else gets picked on. But then you grow up and you get your own TV show, and then you pick on everybody else in spite.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's what it is. That's revenge.
I can see
that's
that.
A revenge, then.
It's a psychologist's dream.
How do we over that? Hey, you get your own TV show.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, is this yours, is it?
Of course it is.
You're in charge.
Everyone else is just making sense. Cast. That's
some of the decisions
that
are made are making sense now.
Peter's going to school. Gab, do I remember right or wrong, given what he did this week? Did you go to school with Elon Musk?
I went to university.
Yeah,
with
I thought
yes.
I remember that when I saw his tweet. I was like, I remember Gab saying that he went to school with him. There we go. Do you still keep in contact with him now, or do you not text him unless you're in Paris, like Frank?
I haven't spoken to him in a while, and I have no and I believe him when he says he's not going to buy Manchester United
or
any other sports team.
There we are. Do you think Elon Musk is bullied? Probably. Anyway, that's it. ESPN FC is over for today. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Of course, it's Newcastle City, Leeds, Chelsea, Barcelona as well against Real Sociedad. There'll be plenty for me and Craig to talk about on my show.